إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Then to continue with Al-Usul al-Thalatha, the three fundamental principles of Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. Then, last week, we had the third and last part of the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawzan to the hadith, hadith of Jibreel, which was the proof from the sunnah for the three levels of the religion. The level of Islam and Iman and Ihsan. And that completed the second of the three fundamental principles of the book. The first fundamental principle being the servant's knowledge of his Lord. Secondly, the second fundamental principle being his knowledge of his religion, the Deen of Islam, with its three levels. And in this part, and what occurs here on page 242 of this Lebanese print, page 188 of the Egyptian print, there occurs the beginning of the third and last fundamental principle. So there comes the heading here, Al-Asr al-Thalith, Ma'rifatu Nabiyyina Muhammadin Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The third fundamental principle. Knowledge about our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they bring a subheading, Ismuhu wa nasabuhu wa nash'atuhu. His name and his lineage and his early life. Then comes the beginning of this part of the text, the saying of Shaykh al-Islam, rahmahullah, Al-Asl al-Thalith, Ma'rifatu Nabiyikum Muhammadin Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The third fundamental principle, knowledge about your Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, said in explanation, his saying, Al-Asl al-Thalith, the third fundamental principle, meaning from Al-Usul al-Thalatha, meaning from the three fundamental principles. Because the Shaykh, rahimahullah, has mentioned at the start of the treatise, the start of the Risala, that it is obligatory upon every Muslim male and Muslim female to have knowledge of these three fundamental principles. And they are knowledge of Allah, and knowledge of the religion of Islam, and knowledge about His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the evidences. As for the first and the second fundamental principles, then a clarification of them and an explanation of them with. One of the other sheikhs said that a clarification of them has preceded and an explanation of their evidences in the previous part of the book has already come done by now. So what remains, the sheikh said, Al-Asl al-Thalith, the third fundamental principle. And it is knowledge about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because of the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is an intermediary between Allah and his creation with regard to conveying his religion and his message. Therefore, it is obligatory to know about him, alayhi salatu wassalam. So I should have to attend to this important point, as we made before as well. The Messenger, and the same other people in the Sunnah, the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is an intermediary between Allah and His creation with regard to this, conveying the deen, conveying the message. He's not an intermediary the other way around. We take him as an intermediary with our worship. We direct worship through him to Allah. No. That's the way the Sufis and the deviants. But rather the people of the Sunnah, the affair of Sheikh Fawzan mentioned, and the people that will be in the way, the grave worshippers. They direct their worship to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, taking him as an intermediary in their worship between them and Allah, and therefore falling to shirk. So Sheikh made clear the position of the people of the Sunnah, that rather what is correct is that because of the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a wasita, is an intermediary between Allah and His creation, with regard to tablighi dini wa risalatihi, with regard to conveying His religion and His message. Therefore, because of this fact, it is obligatory to know about Him, alayhi salatu wassalam. Otherwise, how can you follow a person whom you do not know of? How can we do ittiba, follow the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we don't know about him? So therefore, you must know about him with regard to his name and with regard to the land where he was born and grew up in, and the land to which he migrated, he performed hijra to. And that you know the extent of his lifespan, alayhi salatu wassalam. And the phases of his life, alayhi salatu wassalam. And the phases of the time period which he spent in this world. That you know also what occurred before prophethood and after it, and before the hijrah, before the migration, and after the hijrah, after the migration. That you know how the wahi, how the revelation first came to him, alayhi salatu wassalam, and when the revelation began. And what is the ayah which proves his prophethood? Which ayah proves his prophethood, his nubuwwah? And the ayah which proves his messengership, his risala. That you can quote the ayahs which prove his prophethood, and the ayahs which prove his messengership, his being sent as a messenger. So you must know this. That you know his lineage, his nasab, that you know his lineage. Which tribe was he from? Because the Arabs comprise qabail. The Arabs are made up of tribes. And he was an Arab, without any doubt. So the knowledge of these matters is essential about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Through studying the ayahs and the ahadith which are connected to these matters, and you look into the seerah, the life of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and his call, in order that you should know these matters about your Prophet, whom you are commanded to follow and to take as an example. It comes the continuation of the text, saying Shaykh al-Islam, وَهُوَ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ بْنِ هَاشِمٍ وَهَاشِمٌ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ. There's a word missing there, وَهَاشِمٌ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ, that's dropped out of all the explanation of Shaykh al-Razan. The first Hashim, Ibn Hashimin, wa Hashimun min Quraysh. So he's saying, wa huwa Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim. Wa Hashimun min Quraysh. Wa Quraishun min al-Arab. والعرب من ذرية إسماعيل ابن إبراهيم الخليل عليه وعلى نبينا أفضل الصلاة والسلام. He said, and he is Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim. And Hashim was from Quraysh. And Quraysh are from the Arabs. And the Arabs are from the descendants of Ismail, the son of Ibrahim, Al-Khalil, especially beloved one. May the most excellent salat, extolment, and salam, peace and security be upon him and upon our Prophet. Shaykh Fawzan said in explanation, this is his name and his lineage. His name is Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. And he has other names besides Muhammad. However, the most famous one of his names is Muhammad. And Allah mentioned that in the Quran in a number of ayahs. And Shaykh Rawzan, he mentions the four ayahs, which are all the four ayahs, by the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, occurs. He said, Muhammadun Rasulullah, Surah Al-Fath, 48 Surah, Ayah 29. With the explanation, Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. He said, and his saying, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَقْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ Surah Al-Imran, the third Surah, Ayah 144, with the explanation, and Muhammad is not except a messenger. Messengers have passed away before him. And his saying, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَى أَحَدٍ مِنْ رَجَالِكُمْ Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd Surah, Ayah 40, with the explanation, Muhammad is not the father of any of your men. He said, and his saying, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَآمَنُوا بِمَا نُزِّلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ Surah Muhammad, 47th Surah, Ayah 2, the second Ayah. With the explanation, and those who have iman, those who truly believe, and perform righteous deeds, and who believe in that was sent down, and who believe in that which was sent down upon Muhammad, and it is the truth from their Lord. Shaykh Razan said, so Allah mentioned his name Muhammad in a number of ayahs. Then he said, and from his names is Ahmad. Allah has mentioned it in his saying regarding the glad tidings given by Al-Masih alayhi salam. He quotes the ayah where Allah the Most High quotes the saying of Isa alayhi salam to his people. وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنِ يَدَيَّ مِنَ التَّوْرَاةِ وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدُ Surah Al-Saff, the 61st Surah, Ayah 6, with the explanation, and remember when Isa ibn Maryam said, O children of Israel, I am Allah's messenger to you, confirming what came before me from the Torah, and giving glad tidings of a messenger who will come after me, whose name will be Ahmad. So Shaykh Razan quotes the one place in the Quran where the name Ahmad is mentioned. Then he said, so he is Muhammad and Ahmad. And the meaning of that was both these words, both these names, Muhammad and Ahmad, they both derive from the same root in Arabic, the ha and the meem and the dal, hamd, different forms relating to praise. Shaykh said, so he is Muhammad and Ahmad, and the meaning of that is one abundant in praise, alayhi salatu wassalam, and abundant in attributes for which he is to be praised. And from his names. So Shaykh Fawzan has mentioned the first two names, Muhammad and Ahmad. Then he continues. He has other names besides, meaning, he said, and from his names were, or are, Nabiul Rahma, the Prophet of Mercy, and Nabiul Malhama, the Prophet of Great War. Shaykh said, meaning jihad in Allah's cause. And Al-Hashir, the one after whom the people will be resurrected. And Al-Aqib, the final prophet, alayhi salatu wassalam, the one who is such that the people will be resurrected after his being sent as a prophet. Because he is the last of the messengers, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So there's nothing after him except for the establishment of the hour. So after his messengership, the hour will be established. And the people will be resurrected for the recompensing and the accounting. And whoever wants to gain knowledge of these matters, then let him refer back to the book, Jala'ul Afham, Fi Salati Wa Salam Ala Khayril Anam, of the Imam Ibn Qayyim, Rahimahullah. It's a matter about the names of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and their meanings. Just as a side point, something that Ibn Qayyim mentioned in that book is that with regard to the names of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he goes into some detail, but just very briefly from what he mentions, is that the name Muhammad means the one who deserves to be praised repeatedly. One who has such qualities, and because of them deserves to be praised repeatedly. And the name Ahmad, he mentioned two meanings for the name Ahmad, meaning the person most deserving of praise, and secondly, the one whose praise of his Lord is more excellent than the praise of all those who praise him. Then to continue with what Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, he said, after referring to the book of Ibn Qayyim, Jala'ul Afham, he said, as for his nasab, as for his lineage, then he is Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim, the son of Abd Manaf, the son of Qusay, the son of Kilab. So he mentions, including the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the list of seven names in his lineage. And again, as a side point here, just very as quickly as possible, for those who wish to learn the full lineage that's authentic and established, then there are 22 names in the list that's definitely established, back to Adnan. And so the full names there, just quickly as a side point here, they are, for those who wish to learn it, then that he was Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim, the son of Abd Manaf, the son of Qusay, the son of Kilab, the son of Murrah, the son of Ka'ab, the son of Lu'ay, the son of Ghalib, the son of Fihr, the son of Malik, the son of An-Nadr, the son of Kinana, the son of Khuzayma, the son of Mudrika, the son of Ilyas, the son of Mudar, the son of Nizar, the son of Ma'ad, the son of Adnan. These people acknowledge that is what is authentic and confirmed and definite back to Adnan. Beyond that, all that we know is that he was a descendant, that Adnan was a descendant of Ismail. But who was in between and how many generations, we cannot say with certainty. Then to continue again with Shaykh al-Fawzan's explanation, so he mentioned the first part of the lineage, and he said, taking it back to Kilab, he said, and he was from the tribe of Quraysh.
which is the noblest of the tribes. And Quraysh are from the descendants of Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam. And the Arabs are of two categories, upon the most famous saying. Quraysh are from the Arabs, and in the most correct saying, the Arabs are of two branches, two parts. Al-Arab al-Ariba and Al-Arab al-Musta'raba. First of them, Al-Arab al-Ariba, the original Arabs. And they were the Qahtaniyya. They were the descendants of Qahtan. And the second branch, the second, is Al-Arab al-Musta'raba, the assimilated Arabs, those who assimilated into the Arab, became part of the Arabs. And they are the Adnaniyya, the descendants of Adnan, from the descendants of Ismail alayhi salam, the son of Ibrahim al-Khalil alayhi salam. So the second, as for the first one, the Shaykh making clear, the original Arabs who were Arabs originally, the descendants of Qahtan, al-Arab al-Ariba. Then the second ones, the ones who married into and lived with and learnt Arabic and became Arabs, al-Arab al-Musta'raba, they are the descendants of Adnan, who were descended, Adnan being descended from Ismail alayhi salam, the Prophet, who is the son of Ibrahim the Khalil, the Prophet alayhi salam. Then he mentions the second of these categories, the assimilated Arabs, the ones who became, joined in with the Arabs and became Arabs, they were called al-Musta'raba, the assimilated Arabs, because they learned the Arabic language from the original Arabs. Then the Shaykh gives the history of, brief history of when this happened. He said, when the tribe of Jurhum, Jurhum being an original one of the Arab al-Ariba, original Arab tribes, the sons of Adnan, or from the sons of Qahtan, this tribe of Jurhum. He said, when the tribe of Jurhum came and settled in Mecca, beside Hajar, the mother of Ismail, and her son Ismail, whilst he was young, when they found the well, they found the water, the well of Zamzam, they settled there. And they made an agreement with Hajar that they should settle besides her, and that she should permit them to take water from the well. So I'm going to give the example here, that obviously we know the story of Ismail, the Prophet Ismail, who was left by his father Ibrahim, Ibrahim alayhi salam, left his wife Hajar in the valley of Bakka, the place where Mecca grew. He left by the command of Allah the Most High, he left his wife Hajar with her child Ismail, he left them there with nobody else around, just left them there, has been commanded by Allah the Most High. And while they were there, you know, the Zamzam came. In that time, this tribe of Jurhum, they happened to be passing by. To them, that was just a valley, the valley of Bakka, which was a desolate valley. And they mentioned that they saw some birds. Somebody, they saw some birds circling. So they went to see, and they found Hajar with a small child there. So then, that's what the story that the Shaykh mentioned. So therefore, they settled there, and that's where it continued. Then the Shaykh said, so Ismail alayhi salam, he was a suckling infant at that time. Then he grew up and grew older, and he took the Arabic language from Jurhum, from the tribe of Jurhum. And they were from Al-Arab al-Ariba, they were from the original Arabs. And he, Ismail, he married from the tribe of Jurhum. He married a woman from Jurhum. And descendants came from him who learned the Arabic language, and they grew up with the Arabs. So they became Araban Musta'araba. They became Arabs themselves by assimilation. They grew up amongst the Arabs, their language became Arabic, the Arabic language, and they became Arabs. And they are the Adnaniyya, the descendants of Adnan. As for the Ariba, the original Arabs, then they are the Qahtaniyya, the descendants of Qahtan. whose origin was from Yemen. Then Sheikh Wazar mentions the saying of some of the scholars as well. He said, so that's, Sheikh has made the difference here between the original Arabs, Arab al-Ariba, and the ones who became Arabs, Ismail and then his descendants, alayhi salam. He said, and some of the ulama, some of the scholars said, Al-Arab al-Ariba, the original Arabs themselves were of two categories. And the ones who were originally Arabs in the first place, they were of two categories. Arabun ba'ida, Arabs who became extinct. And Arabun ba'qiya, Arabs who remained. The Arabs who became extinct, they are the ones who were destroyed. And they were the people of Nuh, and Ad, and Thamud, and Shu'aib. They were the first branch, or one branch of the original Arabs. But they were destroyed. They became extinct, they were destroyed by Allah the Most High. And the other branch, Al-Arab al-Baqiyah, and as for the remaining Arabs, then they are those who are divided into the original Arabs and the assimilated Arabs, the category we had before. Original Arabs and assimilated Arabs. And they are the Arabs who remained. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was from Banu Hashim. He's from the sons of Hashim, the tribe of Hashim. And Hashim was from the descendants of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Hashim being the great grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, and his name was Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib. And then he goes on to explain something about Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is called Abdul Muttalib, the slave, literally the slave belonging to Al Muttalib. He said this was not his name. He wouldn't actually call his name, wasn't Abdul Muttalib. That's what he's called, a title given to him, the slave belonging to Al Muttalib. He said this was not his name. His name was Shayba. A word meaning a grey lock of hair. His name was Shayba, the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His actual name was Shayba. However, he was called Abdul Muttalib, the slave belonging to Al Muttalib, because his paternal uncle, his father's brother, Al-Muttalib, the son of Abd Manaf, brought him from Al-Madinah whilst he was little. From his maternal uncles, Banu Najjar. So when the people saw him being dark from travelling, they thought that he was a slave owned by Al-Muttalib. So they said, Abdul Muttalib. He is the slave of Abdul Muttalib. And again, very briefly, try not to make it more difficult, that they mentioned that and Sheikh Al-Fawzan himself, after a moment, will mention that Abd Manaf, he had four sons, one of them being Hashim. His first son being Hashim. This son Hashim, he married a woman from the people of Medina, Salma. She was the daughter of Amr from Banu Najjar. So that's why her son, even though the family was the friend of Quraysh, from Mecca. However, Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was born to this woman, Salma, in Medina. So he grew from being young in Medina. And eventually his uncle, Al-Muttalib, he wanted to take him to the rest of his family in Mecca. So he took him from there, obviously the people in Mecca had never seen him before. He took him, and obviously on a long journey, Al-Muttalib took him, his uncle took him, back to Mecca. So when he arrived back in Mecca from the journey, he was all dark. They'd never seen this little boy before. They thought, who is it? Who is this boy? He said, he's a slave. He's with the Muttalib. Must be the slave belonging to Al-Muttalib. But of course he mentions not, it is my nephew. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, having described the name of Abdul Muttalib, his name was Shayba, and how he came to be called Abdul Muttalib, he said, he was the son of Hashim. Abdul Muttalib was son of Hashim, the son of Abd Manaf. And Abd Manaf had four sons. Hashim, who was the grandfather of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Al-Muttalib, and Abdul Shams, and Nawfal. Then Shaykh Fawzan mentions some of the descendants of each of them. He said, Banu Hashim are called, the descendants of Hashim are called Al-Hashimiyun. Hashimiyun. And Banu Muttalib are called Al-Muttalibiyun. And as for Abdul Shams, and from them was Uthman radiallahu anhu. He was descended from that son, Abdul Shams. And from them was Banu Umayyah. They were all from Abd Shams. And Nawfal, the fourth son, Nawfal, he had offspring. He had descendants. And from them were Jubair ibn Mutlim and Hakim ibn Hizam. Two of the companions. They came from his descendants. So in other words, he's mentioning the family of the great grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the great great grandfather Abd Manaf, that he had four sons: Hashim, who was the great grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam; Abdul Shams, from whom descended the Banu Umayyah and Uthman radiallahu anhu; and from them Al-Muttalib, he was the one who took his nephew Abdul Muttalib back from Medina to Mecca. And from them was Nawfal. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam had the son Ismail, and he was the eldest one. Obviously going right now back to the early part of the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which goes back to Adnan, back all the way back to Ismail, who was the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So he said, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, he had the son Ismail, and he was the eldest one. And he is the grandfather of the Arabs Al-Adnaniyah, who is descendants, the Arabs who were descended from Adnan. Their grandfather is the Prophet Ismail. Then he mentions the second son of Ibrahim, and Ishaq, and he is the grandfather of the Banu Israel, of the children of Israel. And all the prophets, all of them, were from the descendants of Ishaq, from the second son of Ibrahim. All the prophets were descended, later prophets were descended from Ishaq, except for our prophet, alayhi salatu wassalam. He was from the descendants of Ismail. And he was Khatamun Nabiyyin. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the final one of the prophets. Then he said, As for his birth, then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in the year of the elephant. And it is the year, and then he describes, Shaykh Fawzan describes this year. Why was it called the year of the elephant? He said, and it is the year when Abraha, the king of Yemen, came towards Mecca. He was sent on a mission by the king of the Abyssinians to demolish the Kaaba. He was a Christian king. He sent him on a mission to destroy the Kaaba in Mecca. And with him, there was a very large elephant. So when he reached the place which is called Al-Mughammas, and nothing remained except for him to enter Mecca and for him to demolish the Kaaba, and the people of Mecca had already separated and climbed into the mountains because they had no strength to oppose him. So he wanted to go on to the Kaaba, but the elephant was held back. When he reached his place, Al-Mughammas, the elephant was held back. Something stopped it. And it refused to get up from the ground. Allah held it back. So when he turned it in a direction other than the direction of Mecca, it would get up and trot. And when he directed it, when he pointed it in the direction of Makkah, it was prevented. And it was not able to walk. And whilst they were in that condition, they saw two flocks of birds coming from the direction of the ocean. And they had with them stones. Each bird had two stones with it. A stone in its beak and a stone between its feet. And they threw these little stones down. And they would strike the head of a man and it would come out from his anus and split him in two halves. So Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, destroyed them. So there's a point here. Just in case someone obviously live in this country, people try and put ideas in your mind. Does it literally mean that? And you know, with the living ones of kuffar, they try and put ideas in your mind. Maybe it's not literally. The fact is, it's a miracle, something miraculous, which Allah caused to occur. This is how it happened, and it's a miracle. This is how it happened. The birds, they drop these stones, they hit the person on his head, and he goes through his body, and as the Shaykh said, he was split into two halves. Something miraculous which Allah caused to occur and destroyed them. Shaykh said, so Allah sent down, with regard to that, reminding the Quraysh, Surah Al-Fil. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَّأْكُولٍ. Surah Al-Fil, 105th Surah. With the explanation, do you not see how your Lord dealt with the companions of the elephant? Did he not make their plan go astray? And he sent against them birds in flocks, striking them with stones of clay. Shaykh Fawzan commented, from hell, and Allah's refuge is sought. I mean, these stones, which were of this quality, came down, they hit a man on his head and split his body into two. Shaykh said, stones from hell, and Allah's refuge is sought. فَجَعَلْهُمْ كَأَصْفٍ مَحْكُومٍ. For the explanation, so he made them like stalks of corn cut off, devoured. So he made them like stalks of corn, devoured. The Shaykh said, they became like dry straw, which has been eaten by animals and excreted. He said, this was the story of the elephant. So Allah defended his sacred house, and he destroyed this tyrant. Abraha, the one who came, wanted to demolish the Kaaba. And in this year, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. And there appeared, along with his birth, signs. So light appeared along with him, which caused the castles of Sham to shine. Sham, the area of Palestine and Syria, that area around there. When he was born, light appeared, which shone, and caused the palaces in Sham to shine. And in the night of his birth, the idol shook, and the throne room of Kisra, the emperor of the Persians, the throne room of Kisra shook, and some balconies or battlements from it fell down. In the night when the Prophet ﷺ was born, these were signs for the sending of the Prophet ﷺ as a prophet. And the jinn and the devils were thrown into commotion in that night, in that tremendous night. He was born in the place called Shi'ib Ali. He was born in this area, the mountain pass of Ali. As the Shaykh is referring to what was earlier called, it was called the mountain pass of Ali. Before that, the mountain pass of Abi Talib. Well-known place in Mecca. He was born in the Shi'ib mountain pass of Ali, close to the Kaaba, He was born in Mecca. However, the precise location of the house is not confirmed.
Alhamdulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
That's where Sheikh Rozan ends explanation at that point. As for Sheikh Muhammad Aman, then he brings an important point, which we'll just quickly mention. He said, after giving the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam briefly, he said, from Sheikh Muhammad Aman al-Jami, rahimahullah, said he is Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim. To this point, the author mentioned the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is upon the youth that they should learn the lineage to Adnan. The Shabab, the youth, they should learn the lineage back to Adnan. For this is a point of agreement. I mean, the lineage of the Prophet ﷺ, from the Prophet ﷺ to Adnan, is agreement about that. No dispute, no doubt, that's confirmed. That's what we should learn. Before that, there are names, but it's not confirmed whether the names are correct, how many names, etc. Back to Adnan is confirmed, it should be learned, as the Sheikh said. He said, this is a point of agreement. And after that is a point of disagreement. Then he mentioned the important point. And the ma'rifah, the awareness, the knowledge we are to have here, the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this point, the knowledge that we are to have is two parts of knowledge. The first knowledge and awareness is a means and a preparation for the second knowledge, second awareness, which is what is required in the legislation. So a person knowing Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that he is Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, to the end of the lineage, and that he was from the Arabs, from the descendants of Ismail, and that he was born in Mecca, and that he migrated to Al-Madina. This knowledge and awareness is a knowledge and awareness which is a preparation for the awareness which is absolutely essential, which is from Iman. Which is, in that first, that we know who the Prophet ﷺ was, who he was, where he was from. We know that. That's the first branch that we need to know. That leads on to the second essential one, the Shaykh said, which is that you know that he is مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَى أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ. The same way that Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, with the explanation that Muhammad is not the father of any of your men, and that you know that he is indeed the messenger of Allah, and that you know that لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. The ayah from the end of Surah At-Tawbah, with the explanation, there has indeed certainly come to you a messenger from yourselves, to the end of the ayah. Sheikh said, meaning awareness of his characteristics which have occurred in the Qur'an, and awareness of the fact that he is the last, the seal of the messengers, that there is no prophet after him, and that he was sent for the whole of the two species, the jinn and mankind, and to obey him in whatever he commanded, and to believe him in whatever he informed of, and that you do not worship Allah except with what he came with. This is the ma'rifah, the awareness, this knowledge and awareness which will benefit. And after that, there must be believing. After awareness, there must be believing and submitting and following him. In other words, the two, Sheikh, clarifying the point, there are two massive awareness. First one, who the Prophet ﷺ was, and then secondly, what he was. He was the final messenger, and so on to the end of the capturous extension. And then complying with that, submitting and complying and worshipping Allah upon that. Alhamdulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت
Yeah, before, yeah. Stay in the shop. Let them learn first, inshallah.
Don't spoil it. You know who to check next week, right? It's the nation between the different.
We should be able to about the narration of this strong about the narration of Shah.
Yeah.
The light. Allah. Is that Sahih?
That's Quran of Sahih. I thought if it could be Sirah, I reckon.
It's not Sirah.
I don't think it's Sirah. If I remember, I'll try and look next week. Sheikh Albani, Ibn Kathir's Sirah, Sheikh Albani's done checking of it, yeah. I seem to remember this report. He said not. I don't think so. The shaking of the palace.
I think so now. Something like that. I heard something like that's died or something.
Yeah, I think it's died. Allahu Akbar. Maybe it happened, Allah, but as a narration.
That's not
narration.
That's
narration. May happen, maybe not, Allah. Yeah.
I feel it's on the need to fill with me the form you see and as a regard.
Oh, mashallah.
There have been some students here, you see, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And I gave one of them and he. I missed from Ibn al-Qayyim,
I said about two names.
Yeah, I just noted regarding the name Muhammad.
Yeah.
And
he said,
for Ahmed, there were two.
Two.
No.
He said, one who's praised more than anyone else. Yeah. Ahmed. More deserving of praise than anyone else.
And his praise, the second meaning.